Today Shirim Sechtachul and Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, I'm an olive, 6 lines from the top, for Kamen Nois and Light. So the Mishnah continued teaching us the Alokos of Rashis Hageis, and the Mishnah said that it has to be clean wool that the Kohen receives. Explains the Gemara, Tana, Lo Shilabnu V'Yitnu Loi, not that the Yisrael cleans the wool and then gives it to the Kohen. What the Mishnah means, says the Gemara, is that we give the Israel non-cleaned wool, but we give him so much wool that after he will clean it, he'll have chamis sloim of wool. So the Mefarshim ask, that what is the Braisa telling us that really isn't obvious in the Mishnah? Because we learned in the Mishnah that, and we're going to discuss this halacha again, that we're not allowed to dye the wool that we give to the Kohen. And if we dye the wool that we give to the Kohen, then the halacha is, we don't have to give Reishis Hageis actually. So asks the Mefarshim, obviously, if, and then the Mishnah says, but not colored is not a problem. But it's, so it's obvious that we're not supposed to really clean it at all. So what is the Braisa saying that we haven't learned in the Mishnah? So I saw two terutzim. One teretz is, as we explained Rashi's opinion, that the problem with dyed wool, we said, Rashi says, because you intend to steal it. So let's say you'll do it without intention, then you do give Reishis Hageis. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that the Mishnah is just speaking about what color is a problem, what color is not a problem. Colors are a problem, white is not a problem. But that you should not do it, or yes, do it, before you give the Kohen, that's not what the Mishnah is speaking about. So the Mishnah said, what's the reason to give him chamis sloim of wool? Kedei lasis beged cotton. Enough that he should be able to make a beged cotton. Ask the Gemara Menani Mili. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question. Typically, when the Torah HaKadosh tells us a halacha, that we have to give something, so the Torah is going to tell us about a value. Like we know by Pidyon HaBen, you have to give 5 silver coins. Here, the Mishnah expresses the amount, Kedei Lasis Beged Katan, which is not the typical way a value is expressed. So the Gemara asks, why is that the way our Mishnah explains it? Answers the Gemara, Amir B'Shir Ben Levi, Amir Kroh, Lamed L'Sharis. The Pasuk, when it speaks about the Mitzvah Mount Kuna, says the words Lamed L'Sharis. From there we learn that Dover Sheroy L'Sheris, and as Mefarshim explained, there are two separate halachas. There's one halacha Titnu Loi, that we have to give Reishis Hageis to the Kohen. Now the Torah goes on to say another halacha. How much? Lamed L'Sharis, the amount to make a beged that he will do that void with it. Now says the Gemara, My Nihu, what beged is the smallest beged? Avnet. The girdle, the belt that the Kohen wore. And as Rashi explains, we all remember, the Avnet wasn't only made out of wool. The Avnet was made out of many materials. Because the Avnet itself was a very large belt. Chomis sloim of wool certainly isn't enough wool to make a big belt. But if the wool is only one of the materials, it's adequate. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying it's the amount of wool needed to make an Avnet? Eima me'il. Maybe it's the amount of wool that you need for me'il, which is obviously much more. Answers the Gemara, Tfasta meruba, loy tfasta, tfasta mu'at, tfasta. Whenever this rule we have throughout Shas, we could take the bigger amount, but the smaller amount, we take the smaller amount. And the explanation is, because the smaller amount also has to be covered. You need the wool for the Avnet. So the wool for the Avnet is certainly included. The wool for the mill, we don't know, maybe it's too much. Ask the Gemara, if we're looking for the smallest beged, maybe it's a different beged. Maybe it's the kippah shel tzemer. It's the yarmulke of wool. That's the way Rashi explains. I'll talk about it in a moment. The Tanya, kippah shel tzemer hoisa menachas b'roish kohen gadol. The kohen gadol wore this cap made out of wool. V'le'et tzitz nosen. And to it, the tzitz that the kohen gadol always wore is connected. L'kayma shenema. So that was even less than the Avnet. So if we're looking for the smallest beged, so maybe this should be the beged that we need that much wool for, which is even less than the Avnet. Answers the Gemara, Amakra, Who are Bonav? Dover has Shove La Aaron Labonav. The tzitz is only worn by the Kohen Gadol. Avnet is worn by everybody. When we speak about a beged, it has to be a beged that's worn by everybody. And obviously the Achroidim now say, we could understand, we can now answer the question of Mil. A Mil is also only worn by the Kohen Gadol. And when we speak about begadim, we're speaking about begadim that are only worn by the Kohen Gadol, by all Kohanim, not begadim that are only worn by Kohanim. Not only worn by Kohen Gadol, but worn by all Kohanim. So, in this Kippah Shel Tzemer, which the Kohen Gadol obviously wore, the Machlokes Rishonim, what does that mean? Most Rishonim explain that we know that the Kohen Gadol wore a tzitz, that said a gold plate, that said on it Kodesh Lashem, but how was it connected? So it was connected with wool strings, that's how it got connected to the head and to the hat that the Kohen Gadol wore, and obviously you don't need too much wool to make those strings. Rashi, however, if you look in Rashi, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, Koyva Shel Tzemer, Koyva Cotton. He wore a small hat, a yarmulke. And the Farshim have many questions on Rashi's Pshat. First of all, we don't find anywhere that the Kohen Gadol had another beged that he had to wear a Koyva Cotton. Moreover, the Torah goes into great detail in describing all of the beged kuhuna. We don't find that the Torah describes this Koyva Cotton. And a third question is that this Koyva Cotton will now be a chatzitza between the tzitz and the hat and the hair, which the Torah doesn't want. So how can Rashi say he wore a Koyva Cotton? So I saw two answers to this question. One answer I saw is from Rav Baruch Tam. He says that Rashi, when Rashi says that he wore a Koyva Cotton, means when he wasn't doing the Avoida. When he wasn't doing the Avoida, so then he wore the yarmulke. And what was the point? Indeed, that it should be a chatzitza, because the tzitz we know had so much kedusha in it. When he did the Avoida, he didn't wear the Koyva Cotton. That's how Rav Baruch Tam learns. The Chasam Sofer has a different answer. The Chasam Sofer says, the Rashi, of course, is agreeing with all the other Rishonim. That all the Gemara means here are the strings with which the tzitz is connected to the head. They just have a machloikis, how many strings there were. According to those other Rishonim, says the Chasam Sofer, there were only strings around the circumference of the head of the Kohen. Rashi says that not only was there a string around the head, but there was also one from front to back. So that's why, according to Rashi, who has a whole new string, so now since it encompasses the entire head of the Kohen, that's why Rashi calls it a Koyva Cotton. But it didn't mean that he wore a yarmulke. So what are we saying now? We said so the Gemara is up to 2 points. One, the Gemara is saying that the beged that the wool should be used for is the beged to make make a beged that all Kohanim wear. And what beged is the Gemara saying? It's the beged, it's the avnet. Ask the Gemara. We go back to Gemara that we learned in Masechta Yuma. Certainly we all know that in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, when he wore an avnet, wore a white avnet made out of linen. The Gemara Masechta Yuma discusses. Hanicha lemanda omer, ask the Gemara avnet nami lo shavi, because hanicha lemanda omer avnet is shekoyin god loyze avnet is shekoyin hejit shapir. There's one man domer Masechta Yuma says the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur wore a special avnet. What did he wear the rest of the year? The rest of the year he wore the avnet with all the other materials, as did all Kohen hejitim. So now it's kishmak. They all wore the same avnet. El lemanda omer zevnet is shekoyin hejit. That the avnet the Kohen Gadol wears Yom Kippur and the avnet that all Kohanim wear all year are the same. And what is the avnet? So when we speak here about wool being used in avnet, it's only worn by the Kohen Gadol all year. So again, we're back to where we started. We have an avnet that's only worn by the Kohen Gadol. And we're saying it has to be avnet worn by everybody. Mayikla Amemer. How do we understand this Gemara? And so the Gemara, shame avnet ba'olam. Yes, the avnet of Kohen Gadol and the avnet of Kohen Hejit is not the same. But they all wear avnet. That's enough to say that we fulfill the requirement of Dova Shovel Aaron Lubanov. Interesting Shari Tshuva in Aruchayim that uses this Gemara, Lahaloch Lamaisa. We know that on Purim, were obligated to give matnas aniyim. Tanas lav yoinim. So let's say you have a person, who's a very generous person, he's prepared and is giving a lot of tzedakah, but every person that comes to him, he gives him a dollar. He says he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of matanas lav yoinim. Because Al Gemara has taught us that titnuloi, when the Torah says you have to give something, it has to be something significant, something you can do something with, you can make a beged with. So if you give him, and you're giving him, being very generous, and you're giving many aniyim, but you're not giving any one evyoin enough that he can really do something with it, you haven't fulfilled matanas lav yoinim. And therefore, halacha should be, give matanas lav yoinim to two aniyim amount that they could buy a meal with, then the rest, you could give whatever you want. Like hespik litnai. So we learned in the Mishnah that if, and we mentioned this earlier, if the Yisrael dyed the wool before he gave it to the Kayin, then he's no longer obligated in Reishis HaGeiz, otherwise he is. Says the Gemara, Itmar. The Gemara begins the following situation. Grazos of Macha Rishayna. The average person, he has five animals. He takes off the wool from one, and then he sells the animal. The same, the second, the same, the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam learns he didn't sell the animal, he sold the wool. So by the time you got to the last animal, either you don't own the animal according to Rashi, or you don't own the other wool according to the Rambam. Many Achraim say that there isn't necessarily a machlokes of Rashi and Rambam here, they're just speaking about different scenarios. What will be the halacha? Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Mechayiv. Rav Chisda says he's still chayiv in Reishis HaGeiz. Rav Nes Ma'oshi Amapata. Rav Chisda Mechayiv. Dagozes. We learned in the Mishnah, if you cut the wool of five animals, you are chayiv in Reishis HaGeiz. And that's what happened here. Rav Nes Ma'oshi Amapata. Because the end of the Kamoli Shi'ura, when you come to the fifth shear, being in the fifth animal, being in Tzaka, you have to have that you had five animals, and at that point, for lucky, you no longer have them, you've sold off the first four. So the way the Ram explains this Machlokes, Rav Chisda, Rav Nosson Ba'oshia, is as follows. He explains that Rav Chisda says that how do we look at the mitzvah of Reishis HaGeiz? The way we look at it is from the beginning of cutting. So as soon as you have five animals in front of you, and you begin to cut those, the wool, you become mechuyif. So the fact that you don't own those animals by the time you complete the cutting is immaterial. Rav Nos Ba'ishya says it's a din in the animals, and therefore by the time you finish, those animals are no longer yours, you're not chayif. And it's very interesting, the Mefarshim point out, if we look in the Ritva says that even Rav Chisda will agree that you don't have to have ownership of all those five animals to be chai at the end, to be chai Reishis HaGeiz, but you had to have enough wool at the beginning that you should be chai in the mitzvah. Otherwise, even if Chizda will agree. Why? Because what's the whole verse of the Ran? That you began, you had a chiv. If you didn't start with enough wool, even if Chizda will concur, you're not chayiv. Actually, before I should take it a step further, because there's an interesting verse from Chaim Brisker. Chaim Brisker wants to suggest that there's a fundamental difference between the chiv of Reishis HaGeiz versus, let's say, the chiv of challah. He says the chiv of challah is a chiv on the dough. That means if you have a dough of the proper size, as we just discussed the other day, so you have a chiv to take off challah from that dough. So what causes the chiv? The dough. Whereas, suggests Reb Chaim Brisker, Reishis HaGeiz is not a din in the animal, that you have to give some wool from the animal to the kayin. It's a din on the person. The person is mechuyiv to do the mitzvah Reishis HaGeiz. So the Mefarshim want to suggest that that's exactly the machlokes of Chizda Rav Anan Ba'ishya. According to Chizda, it's a din in the gavra. So as soon as you have the animal, you're mechuyiv. The fact that you don't have the animals anymore at the end is immaterial. According to Rav Nos Ba'ishya, it's a din in the animal. And if you don't have the animals, you're not chayiv. Which actually could be connected to another interesting point. I saw a very fascinating Ratvaz. The Ratvaz suggests that let's say, as we're learning, you have five animals, and you have to give Reishis HaGeiz from all five animals, and you cut enough wool from the first animal. And you have wool in front of you. The Ratvaz wants to suggest that you should give your Reishis HaGeiz from the first animal. From the wool from the first animal. Avada, you could give from the others as well. Why? Because maybe since it's the din and the gavra, and as soon as the person started cutting, he became mechoyev, so that's why he should right away give from the first animal. If it's a din and the heftza, maybe the Ratfaz would agree that you're not mechoyif. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, halakech geis tzoni shalev tekachavim, if somebody buys the fleece of the sheep from an akum, potem reishis ageis. You're not chayiv reishis ageis. Hatzoni logos chayiv. Which means as follows. The mechanics are, I buy the animal from the akum. The animal is mine until I cut off the wool. And I finish cutting the wool, it reverts back to the akum. And so animal one, and so animal two, and so animal three. Ask the Gemara, but if that's what's happening here, so by the time I finish cutting the fifth animal, I no longer own the first four animals. So according from Nosim Ba'oshia, why would I be chayiv? Okay, Hatzon logs is chayiv. But ask the Gemara, according from Nosim Ba'oshia, why? Amai, kol chob v'chob, bas agiza nafkul merushusei. And reverts back to the akum. So I finish cutting the fifth one, they're no longer mine. Answers the Gemara. Tugmar of Chizda, I'll leave it to Reb Nosson Ba'oshia. Kigon Chekna like Kol Shloshim Yom. It's referring to a situation where it's not that the deal with the Akum is that I will give it back to him immediately after I finish cutting. It's mine for 30 days. So by the time I finish cutting all five, they're all still by me. So a few points to make here. First is a very fascinating point. Reb Chizda is the one that's disagreeing with Reb Nosson Ba'oshia. But even though Rav Chizda is the one that's arguing with Rav Nosson Ba'oshia, Rav Chizda is the one that explains Rav Nosson Ba'oshia's opinion. So we see that they learned Torah Lishma. They were just interested in getting to the Emes, not to defend their positions. Furthermore, we see from here, the Paisk and the Mechas Chinuch and others discuss a very important concept. Even if we'll say, as the Gemara indeed attempts to interpret that Mishnah, that you had ownership of that animal, for 30 days, 30 days is not necessarily dafka, but you had ownership of the animal for a short amount of time, you're chayiv in reishis hageis, but it's certainly a very weak ownership. In the halacha, that's called the kinyan peris. Not really yours, reverting back to the akum. Yet the Gemara is saying that kinyan peris gives you ownership, that you're responsible for reishis hageis. So the achrayim have two ways of looking at it. The simple way of looking at it is kinyan peiris ke kinyan aguftami. That the halacha says that getting the rights of the proceeds gives you ownership. Another way is that maybe kinyan peiris is lav ke kinyan aguf. But it's enough of a kinyan to be chayiv reishis hageis. Where do they say that this is relevant? Baruch Hashem, in our world we don't have the shaila. But it used to be that people didn't have their own dalaminim. They would borrow the dalaminim, as the Gemara Masechta Sukkah explains, with a matana manas lahachzer. Now, Matana Manas Lachs is a very weak ownership. You have it for a minute. But we see from our Gemara that even a very limited ownership, the Halacha considers ownership. So we learned the Mishnah as follows. If I bought from someone else the wool, so the Halacha, the Mishnah said, is as follows. If the owner, if the seller still has some wool left, then he has to give the Reishis Hageis. If I have it, then I'm Chayiv. If I had to buy, I have all of it, then I'm Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana that we could subscribe that holds? The Hechdik is Shiur Gabin Moicher, that if there's some wool left over by the seller, then Basim Moicher is leaning. Otherwise, we go to the buyer. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Chizda, Rabbi Yehuda Hi. Rav Chizda suggests it represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masech Tepeya, HaMoicher Kalche Ilo B'toich Sadeu. You own a field, I buy, and you have some trees in the field, and I buy those trees. The halach is nice and pale kolecha vechad. As we learned earlier in our Masechta, there's a chiyuv pay on trees. And I bought those trees. I have to get paid from each tree. And as the Mefarshim explained in Masechta Peya, even though the halach is that, let's say I have a field of trees, and I have to get paid, I don't have to get paid from every tree separately. I can get paid from one tree for all of the trees. That's because I own all of the trees in the field. Here, I only own some trees in your field, so your field separates between my trees, so there's nothing to combine the trees, and I have to get payah from each tree individually. Nice and payah l'kalecha v'echad. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, what is that halacha that I, the buyer, have to give the payah? B'zman shalai shayi b'al asada, when you, the seller, didn't keep any part of the field for yourself. If you, the seller, kept yourself some of the trees, Narsim pay ala kol. You give payah on everything. And there's a fascinating machlokes rishonim here. The Rash and most rishonim say, what does it mean that you the seller give payah? You're going to have to give payah on the trees. You're going to have to give payah on what grows from the ground. Why? For as we have learned, by payah the aloch is you can't give from one min to another min. Rashi says that if you are giving the payah and you own the field and you own the trees, you could take payah from the field and it'll be also good for what grows on the tree, which is incredibly difficult to understand. And all the Mefarshim try to understand Rashi, because one of the fundamental halachas in Masechta Payah, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to give me min from one minute to another minute. So how could Rashi suggest that giving payah from what grows on the ground will be satisfactory from what grows for the trees? And that's indeed why the Rashi disagrees with Rashi. So Mefarshim answer, and the Migdash Tovet explains it this way. He says, what's the reason you're not allowed to give from one min to another min? He says, Hilchas Peyah and Hilchas Truma don't work the same way. Hilchas Truma, there's a din, you're not allowed to give from one min to another min. Here, the reason is because the tree and the field are two separate areas. But if you have only a few trees on a very large field, then Rashi says those trees aren't considered a separate area from the field. You give from the field onto the trees. So again, Emesai, does the seller give? Bezman shalai shir ba'al sada, they didn't leave over anything for himself. Ava shir ba'al sada, if he left over, nice and pay al kol, he gives all of the payah. So what do we see? That it's the seller's responsibility. Similarly, says the Gemara in our Mishnah, it will be the seller's responsibility. Amrei Rava asks Rava, but you yourself said in that Mishnah, for Mahuda Amar, that the seller is only responsible if he started cutting before the buyer bought. Whereas in our Mishnah was saying that the seller is always responsible. Says the Gemara, they will say our Mishnah also that says that it's the responsibility of the seller is only referring to a situation where the seller began cutting. But if the seller never began cutting, then it's not the seller's responsibility. Says the Gemara, you can't make that analogy. Why? Because Bishlam Mahasam, when we speak about payah, the Torah Kedoshah says, "Ubekutzchem es ksir atzchem ksiv." So meida the aschel letzksar mechay bekul sada. There's a moment that counts. What's the moment that counts? The moment of cutting. Hocha meida the igzal migzalam mechay bekul edrei. The moment that counts isn't when you begin cutting. And Rishonim will say, "I according to Chizda we said it does." He says only on five, not on all of the animals. So we can't connect, says the Gemara. The mechanics of payah, the mechanic of reshus hageiz are very different. So again, the Gemara goes back to try to understand what's the difference if the seller gives the reshus hageiz unless there's no other option, says the Gemara. Elam Rava Haitanahu. The Tanah we learned previously. Amali in the previous parak. Machli b'nei me'er shapara. I bought all of the kishkas of your cow. Verbimatanis. And in the kishkas, there's the kaiva. The loch is nice in the coin. I have to give the coin that kaiva. Venim nakal medam. I can't deduct from what I paid you. However, we learned. Lokach v'menem v'meshko. Let's say I paid you by the weight. That means I paid you $1 a pound. As I always give the example. And it weighed 10 pounds. And the kaiva weighs 2 pounds. I deduct $2. Nice in the coin. I have to give the coin to the coin. To the kaiva to the coin. And then I can deduct the value of that kaiva. Alma, what do we see from there? We see that when Rashi says the raya is from the reisha, so we'll learn what Rashi's pshat. Tosfos learns differently. Rashi says the raya goes as follows. I bought from you all the kishkas. So what do you say to me? That you, the meicher, never meant to sell me the kaiva. You meant just that I should deliver. I, the buyer, should not get the kaiva for myself. Just deliver it to the kohen. Alma, matnas the kohen le'maz beninish. You don't give that away. You want to deliver it. Hachinami, in our case as well. You're the meicher. You might have sold me wool, but matnas the kohen le'maz beninish. You never intended to sell that. That you meant because you want to have the opportunity to have the mitzvah reishis hageiz. And therefore the Gemara concludes. Hiltach, Shair HaMoicher, if you had left over, and you have what to give yourself, and we see that you're anxious to do the mitzvah, so give from the world that you have. Moicher Chayef, because I, the buyer, can tell you, the seller, Matnoim the Koyin Gabochi, the Matonis Koyin that you so much want to fulfill, you still have will with which to fulfill that mitzvah. However, Lashire, but let's say you have no will to give them from. Then Lakechayev, Damalay Moichem, Matana the Koyin, Lazavni Loch. When I gave you wool, I only meant to sell you that much wool, minus the amount that the Koyin deserves for Eishes Hageis. Actually, I saw an interesting tshuva from the Mishnah Halachas based on this Gemara. This Gemara and previous Gemaras that we learned in our Masechta. We learned in our Masechta that Ben Pekua, with the rice is namuchi of shlita. If you slaughter an animal, you find a living animal in the womb of the mother, then because namuchi of shlita the rice. So he asks, there's so many difficulties involved in shlita. Shaykhtim, and all different issues. What we learned also, when we learned Allah's Ben Pekua, that a Ben Pekua, the head of Ben Pekua goes on for all generations. That if you are a descendant of a Ben Pekua, you're not chayiv in shlita. So he asks, why didn't we just create a flock of Ben Pekuas, and it'll solve so many shechita issues. So one teretz he gives is interesting medrash. We all remember that Rashi says that v'yov v'yosef is dibasim ro alaviyem. Yosef reported about the shvatim to Yaakov. What was one of the things he said? He said they eat eva menachai. Shvatim eat eva menachai? So all the mafarshim explained they ate animal that wasn't slaughtered because it was a Ben Pekua. So Yosef reported what he saw, but they didn't do anything wrong. So what do we see? That when somebody eats an animal that's Ben Pekua, you're creating a Marasayan situation. So we don't want to create a Marasayan situation. That's one teretz he says. But then he says another teretz based on our Gemara. What does our Gemara say? That when the Moicher has wool, he's going to want to do the mitzvah. Because people want to do mitzvahs. We know that in shechting an animal, there are so many mitzvahs involved. So since there are so many mitzvahs involved, certainly he wants to do the mitzvah. And that's why we don't raise Ben Pekuas. We don't want to avoid mitzvahs. We want to have the opportunity to fulfill mitzvahs. Hanalach reshes hageis, hanalach reshes hageis, hanalach reshes hageis. We begin the last parak of our Masechta be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. We know that the Torah Kedoshah says, the mitzvah shluach hakein. Torah Kedoshah says, ki yikari kan tzipul fenecha. If you find a nest, b'derech, on the way, you may not just take the mother and the children. Send away the mother and take the children for yourself. Of course, we're not allowed to explain the reason for mitzvahs. You have to fulfill the mitzvahs. The Rishonim give a different explanations in this mitzvah of Shluach HaKein. One pshat that I saw is that this mitzvah represents that we have compassion for the mother, that we don't want the mother to see how we are taking the eggs for ourselves, and therefore we send the mother away before we take those eggs. And that's why the mitzvah of Shluach HaKein was given to build in us the Midas HaRachmonis. Another pshat that I saw is that when a mother is separated from its child, the mother cries. It's in pain. It's in an emotional state. And it cries to Hashem. And when anything, even in a bird, cries to Hashem, Hashem, the Baal HaRachmanis, the Midas HaRachmim, has Rachmanis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then is in a time of Rachmanis, and he can ultimately have Rachmanis on us. A third pshat that I saw in the Chinuch, that he suggests, from here we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgacha Pratis, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches every single thing in the world, even the small eggs, the small birds in this nest, to realize and learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous Hashgacha on what's happening in this world. Actually, these reasons may have relevance to the question that if somebody's fulfilling the mitzvah Shluach HaKein, must he make a bracha? If we're saying the point of Shluach HaKein is to show Rachmanis, that maybe a bracha should be made, that we're trying to get a Kodesh Baruch to have Rachmanis on us. If the reasons are other reasons, then maybe there's no mitzvah to make a bracha. Other Rishonim suggest that a bracha shouldn't be made by Shluach HaKain, since there's so many details, as we will admit to Shem learn in our perek, involved in properly fulfilling this mitzvah. And we need to be certain that the bird is not a treifa. We have to be concerned that the eggs are indeed fine. So many things could go wrong in the mitzvah Shluach HaKain. Therefore, we should make a bracha. Other Rishonim suggest that Shluach HaKain actually represents a negative attribute that was separating the mother from its children. And you don't make a bracha on something that's a negative experience. In fact, I saw from Pichas Karetzer that he suggests that since there are so many questions involved in the mitzvah Shluach HaKain, including, as we just said, the bracha, maybe the best way to fulfill the mitzvah Shluach HaKain is by learning the Perek Shluach HaKain, where you don't have the questions, but you get the schar of doing the mitzvah. Because as we know, the Zohar already says that Shluach HaKain carries with it the skula, the power of bringing some mitzchar, as the Torah says, the manyetav lach, farach the yamim, as a bottom tikach lach, that the Svarim HaKadoshim say that by fulfilling the mitzvah Shluach HaKain, it's a skula for people who need to have children. The fundamental question that actually permeates the entire perek is that, as I just quoted the pasuk of the Torah regarding Shluach HaKain, the pasuk speaks about, and as the Mishnah will mention, kiyakari, that I find the nest and I want to keep the eggs and I have to send away the mother. But as the achrayim debate strongly, what is the halacha that I don't want the bird? I don't need the eggs. I don't have no need for those eggs. Is there still a mitzvah to try to do the mitzvah Shluach HaKain? Is Shluach HaKain strictly a mitzvah that if it happens to be that you find the nest and you want the eggs, then this is what the Torah tells you to do? Or is there a point to try to want to fulfill the mitzvah even if you don't necessarily need the bird, even though you don't need the eggs? And we'll discuss this as we learn the perek. Says the Mishnah, Shluach HaKain noig be'aretz b'chutz l'aretz, b'fnei abayis, v'shloi b'fnei abayis, whether the Beis Hamikdash is standing or not. B'chulin, it applies only to birds that are chulin, avlo b'mikdashim. Says the Mishnah, chayim b'kisi adam b'shluach HaKain, kisi adam has a chumra over Shluach HaKain, shekisi adam noig b'chai b'oif, it applies both by a chai and by oif, b'mezumin b'sh'en mezumin, whether you have prepared the animal or you didn't. Even though, as the Mefarshim say, since the Torah says, Ish kiyotzut sayid, maybe it's only when you prepare the animal. So it teaches us our Mishnah, the Kisui Adam always apply. V'shluch ken en noig el ba'if, it's only by birds. V'edar el b'shen mezumin, you didn't, only if the bird happened, you happen to have met the bird, we'll speak about this. Ezu shen mezumin, and what does that mean? Kigoyin avzavitan agoylim, that if you find different types of birds, shekonin b'pardis, that grow in the wild. Avm kiner b'bayis, if they are domesticated in your house, the kenyona her desoyis, which is a different type of bird that they used to raise in their homes, their halach is patim mishluach. Teaches us the Mishnah further. Oif tame patim l'shleach, there is no chiv of shluach came by a non-kosher bird. Oif tame, if a non-kosher bird roivitz al ebeye e oif tahor, the mother is a kosher bird, the eggs are non-kosher, or vice versa. Tor, the mother is a kosher bird, Revitz al-Bei of Tomei, Potom al-Shemleach, there's no Chiv of Shluach HaKain. Kaira Zohar, it's a specific type of bird, a male version of that bird. Reb Lezer says there is a Chiv of Shluach HaKain, V'cham Paitrim, the Cham say there is no Chiv of Shluach HaKain. Says the Gemara, Rav Avin Rav Moshe make the following comment. We've been learning so many Mishnayos in all these parakim that begin noig ba'aretz b'chutz l'aretz, that the various mitzvahs that the parakim that we've been learning, those mitzvahs apply both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz l'aretz. So they schad amos. So one of them made the following comment: Kol echad k'nan ba'aretz b'chutz l'aretz. Everywhere that the Mishnah taught us that the mitzvahs apply in Eretz Yisrael and chutz l'aretz, shloi l'tzarich. There's no need to teach us that. It's obvious that they apply chutz l'aretz, for we know that the only mitzvahs that are strictly limited to Eretz Yisrael are mitzvahs atluyas baretz. But all of these mishnayos are talking about mitzvahs regarding animals. So certainly they apply even chutz laretz. So why must the mishnayos teach us this halacha? Says the Gemara lafuki mid Rav Eloi. Because our mishnayos want to teach us that we don't follow the opinion of Rav Eloi. Donna Reish is a guy who compared the mitzvah of Reish Sagais to Truma, and therefore he said that just like Truma is only an Eretz Yisrael, so to Reish Sagais. So that's why our Mishnayos all say, because it's our Mishnah that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, the Rishonim point out that actually it's not only that the machlokes between Rav Eloi and the Tana of a Mishnah is not only by Reish Sagais, it's by Zroel Lechaim Vekeva also. The reason the Gemara focuses on Reish Sagais is because Rav Eloi learned his halacha from Reish Sagais. So when we want to quote the opinion of Rav Eloi, we speak about Reish Sagais. Furthermore, the Gemara said in last perek, Noag Savi Bavli, the elders in Bavel acted like Rav Eloi by Reish Sagais. So we see specifically that by Reish Sagais, Rav Eloi's opinion was well received, that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why the Tanav Am Mishnai said, no, we don't agree with Rav Eloi. The Charama, another one, made the following comment. Wherever the Mishnah says that something applies, whether the Beis HaMikdash is standing or not, Shloi L'Tzarech. Of course, again, it should make no difference. Levad Ma'osev Espanoi. Except for the din of Osev Espanoi, which Salkadayt Chanina, because we would think, Horel Vinyanei the Kachim Ksiv, since the Pasuk of Osev Espanoi is mentioned in the parasha next to Karbonis, so we would think, Bizman de Ike Kachim, when Karbonis are in place, Ninoig, the din of Osev Espanoi ought to apply, Bizman de Leka Kachim, Lo Ninig, Kamash Malan, that it always applies. Furthermore, says the Gemara, the Tavayu Amri, they also make the following comment. Wherever the Mishnah said that these halachas apply, whether it's Bechulin or Megdashim, there's a need to say it. Levad Megedet Nasha, except for the case of Gedet Nasha, that there really is no reason to say that it applies Bechulin or Megdashim. Ask Mapshita, of course it applies by Kachim. Why should we think, Meshum de Igdish, that just because the animal is Hegdish, Paka, that it's not applicable, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, when we learned that Mishnah, that the Mishnah said that Gira Nosh applies by Kachim, so the Gemara asked indeed the question, why do I need to say so? It's obvious. So the Gemara answered, the Chiddush is, that let's say we have a Vlad of Kachim, and as the Gemara explained, the Vlad of Kachim becomes Kodesh at the moment of conception. The Gira Nasha comes later. So perhaps we ought to employ over here the concept of Ein Issachal Alisser. And since it's ready also because it's Hegdish, there should no longer be Issa of Gira Nasha, Kamash Milan. So, ask the Gemara. Vlad Nakimna, Vlad is Kotship. So why are we saying it's Shloi L'Tzairich? Answers the Gemara. My Tam Nakimna. Why did we say that Mishnah is speaking about that scenario? Because we had a question. Because it seems to be superfluous. Of course, as the Gemara just said, Gira Nasha ought to apply by Kachim. Mikar Lami Lai Kachim. Now, says the Gemara, there was no place for that question. Because either the Torah of the Tzarech, since in the other places, the Torah needed to tell us that it applies by Kachim, Taninami, that's why the Mishnah mentioned it even by the case of Gira Nasha, where it's not necessary. But indeed, we don't have to come on to say this teretz, that because of Vlad's Kachim, just like we see in our Gemara, many times the Mishnayos mention halachas that aren't necessarily relevant. Even though, I saw that the Rishonim point out, that even though our Gemara is now saying that the Mishnah mentioned halacha that Gira Nasha applies by Kachim, even though it was really not necessary, but the fact that it's not necessary doesn't bother us as we're learning, still the halacha does remain that way, and even though an animal is Kodesh before the Gira Nasha formed, here we will not apply the concept of Ein Issachal Alisser, and that Gira Nasha will be Asur, besides for the fact that it's Kodesh, it will also be Asur because it is Gira Nasha.